our time together. Father, we just come to you. And God, that's what we're desperate for. We're desperate for your words of life. Lord, where else would we go? Where else can we go, Father? This world is full of lots of different words. But Lord, your words of life, that's what we're craving. Your word says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Father, we know what it's like to not be satisfied. We know what it's like to try to fill ourselves all up on all kinds of lesser things. And that's not why we're here. We're here because we crave something eternal. The only thing in this life that will scratch the itch. Lord, we need you. And so, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill this place with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you'd fill me with the Spirit of truth, Lord, that it wouldn't be about what Bill has to say, but it would be about what your word has already spoken and what your Spirit wants to point out to your people today. And so we pray that your Spirit would pierce through the distractions. We pray that you would silence the distractions that wage war in our minds, Lord, to derail us, to pull us away from hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. Lord, your sheep hear your voice. We just pray that we would, each and every person here, no matter how old they are, no matter where they're coming from in their spiritual journey, we just pray that they would hear the Good Shepherd's cry to come home and rest. And so, Jesus, we just pray this over our time as well as the kids and the teachers. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, welcome. Welcome to Revolve. I'm Pastor Bill. If you are joining us for the first time, we're glad you guys are here. You'll find there's a connection card on the foyer, and you can fill that out. Just let us know that you're here. If you have any relevant information to pass on, prayer requests, that kind of stuff, you can put that all on the card. You can also email us and contact us that way. There's also a bunch of other resources out on the desk, and I'm going to just mention that now so I don't forget at the end of the sermon, because there's resources about how to read the Bible. There's some Bibles out there that are free to take. There's our suggested kids' Bible called the Jesus Storybook Bible, which we encourage you to grab a copy if you don't have a Bible that's age-appropriate for your children that they enjoy reading. It's a great resource. There's lots of resources out there. Feel free to take whatever you find except for the check-in laptop. Everything else is fair game, okay? And so we've been going through 1 John. 1 John is a letter. It's written by the Apostle John. John was one of Jesus' best friends. And John wrote this letter. It's called a circular letter. And what that means is that it wasn't just sent to one person, but it was sent to a group of people in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, and then it was shared. So it would be like someone sent a letter to Revolve, and then we pass it to Lighthouse, and they pass it to First Baptist, that kind of idea, sent to a region. And so John has been unpacking for us this question of how do I know that my faith is genuine? That's what John's been unpacking. It says in 1 John chapter 5, John says, look, I'm writing this letter to you so that you can know that you're saved. Not so that you can hope you're saved, or so you can think you're saved, or that you can stand before the pearly gates and you can say, I think I've done more than my fair share, and so I think that's good enough. John says, I want you to have confidence that you can know where you stand with God when you stand before him. And the reason this is relevant is because every day in our world, we are bombarded with messages. We're bombarded with messages that give us advice. We're bombarded with messages that offer us wisdom, that say, I have the right counsel for your life. If you think about it this way, we live in a day and age where you have never been bombarded with information more than you are right now. And it's even more pronounced for our children's generation, because there's apps that those kids these days, they got those apps. And I don't have those apps, okay? But they do. But even if you're not on TikTok, I know some of you guys aren't huge TikTokers, but even if you're not on TikTok, there's friends giving you advice, there's family members telling you what to do, there's a plethora of podcasts. I remember when we were sleep training our kids, it was basically the threshold of madness. And I remember that I wanted to, I remember one time everybody was like, well, you just got to let it cry it out. You just got to do attachment parenting. And everybody had an opinion, but those people didn't see us crying in the kitchen at 2 a.m. when our kids refused to sleep. Everybody has advice for you. YouTube, social media, news, books, counselors, teachers, even preachers have counsel, have wisdom, advice. The reality is that everybody in this world is telling you how to think, how to live, how to raise kids, how to fix your marriage. But how do you know if the advice they're giving you is good advice? How do you know if it's wise counsel? How do you know if it's even true? How do you know if it's actually going to be more detrimental than helpful? You know, it's a proven fact that people vote and make big decisions primarily on name recognition more than anything else. And so the danger in that is that when an influential, charismatic person steps in, as people, we are easily deceived. And our situation today with those realities is not very different than John's situation almost 2,000 years ago. And although John does not mention the name in his letter, if you read other letters that are outside of the Bible written by John's disciples from the early second century, late first century, you realize that John, the guy who wrote this book, 1 John, John had an opponent, and the opponent's name was Cerinthus. And Cerinthus claimed to be a Christian, but he didn't believe that Jesus was God. Cerinthus claimed to be a Christian, but he said that Jesus became divine, like he leveled up. But then before the crucifixion, his divinity left him. That's what Cerinthus claimed. Cerinthus then said that when you went to eternal paradise, it began with a 1,000-year party of pleasure. And at that point in time, once everybody heard that, they were like, it sounds great. I'll be a Cerinthus Christian. And you even, in Cerinthus' teachings, by the way, he was called an early Gnostic. That was the technical term for it. In Cerinthus' teachings, you see the seedbed of the false teachings from Islam. You see the mirror images of what Islam teaches hidden in Cerinthus' teachings. You see, in John's day and age, false teachers like Cerinthus, they entered the church, they claimed to be Christians, they spoke, and this is John's message. It's simple, guys. This is John's message. He says, don't believe everything you hear. If you tune out the rest of the sermon, maybe at least get that. This is the point. Don't believe everything you hear. Instead, you need to learn to discern what is true. And so I want to read these first 6 verses from 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 6 verses from the New Living Translation, which is a little bit easier to wrap your brain around. And then we're going to break it down verse by verse from the English Standard Version. But I want to read these first 6 verses from the NLT. He says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets or false teachers in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, I'm going to say that again. If someone claims to be a spokesman, if they claim to be a voice for Jesus, but they don't believe in the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. I didn't write 1 John 4. He wrote it, and so don't get mad at me. Don't send me emails. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit, again, the Holy Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world. So they speak from the world's viewpoint and the world listens to them. But we belong to God and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the Spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So I wanted to read those verses up front, and we've mentioned this a few times, but I'll mention it again. The book of 1 John is notoriously difficult to understand, though it's easy to read in terms of its language, because it's very circuitous. It keeps going in circles, and it's not the way our brains, being people who are kind of, our academic structure is more Greek, and it's linear. A, B, C, D, where John goes like this, A, B, A, C, B, A, C, B, A, and he keeps going back and forth in a circle. And so I wanted to read those verses up front, and then I'm going to kind of restructure them in a logical order the way that our brains would think. And if it's not the way our brains would think, then it's the way my brain thinks, because I have the microphone. Okay? And so we're going to begin in verse 1. This is what he says, and again, now I'm reading in the ESV. It will be on the screen as well. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So whenever you're reading the Bible, you want to look for a couple key things. Some of those things are commands, or the technical term is imperatives. And we see right here that John gives very clear, he gives two commands, and then he gives one reason why, one justification. His two commands are very simple. He says, do not believe every spirit, command number one. Command number two, instead test every spirit. Now, when John says spirit, he's not talking about ghosts, okay? He is talking about the spiritual source behind someone's teaching or behind someone's message. Now, we use this term, this idea of the spirit of the age, or maybe you've heard the term Zeitgeist, right? The German phrase, the spirit of the time. I mean, literally that would be the ghost of the time, but it's this idea of the spirit of the age has a message for us. But John is essentially saying all of these messages are coming from a spiritual source of some kind. And so that's why some translate this verse as, don't believe everyone who claims to be a spokesman for the Spirit of God. Don't believe everyone who claims to speak for God. Don't believe everyone who claims to represent God. I saw this really amping up during COVID, that you could go on YouTube and there would be dozens, hundreds, thousands of videos of people claiming to be prophets. Did anybody else notice that during COVID days? I know we all like repressed COVID, but during COVID, you go on YouTube and there would be people talking about all kinds of prophetic words. People who were claiming to speak, quote, by the Spirit. But for as God's people who want to discern what is true from what is false, we need to not fall for every single thing that is said to us in the name of God. We need to be able to say, how do I know if this is true? How do I know if this is garbage? How do I know if this is actually from the Lord's Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus. Or how do I know if this message is actually from another spirit, a spirit of deception? And so John says, don't believe everything and test it. Now, some of you, your default when you hear that is going to become a spiritual curmudgeon. And you're like, yeah, you gotta be skeptical. And you're gonna be skeptical of everything. But I don't think John is suggesting that you should shoot down every idea or every teaching or everything that you never thought of yourself. That's not what John is saying. What John is saying is that you need to be responsible in discerning what is and is not from the Lord so that you don't fall for everything you hear. And that's the big idea. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear, because not every voice is from God. Not every voice that claims to be spiritual is from the Lord. Not every piece of advice that you get from your counselor, that you get from your friends, that you get from YouTube, that you get from your financial advisor. Not everything you hear is wise. And that also includes, by the way, your internal monologue. Those voices in your head. And I don't mean the voices in your head. I mean the internal monologue that you have on a regular basis, that we all have. If you're human, you have that internal monologue that you mess something up and your brain goes, oh my gosh, you're such a loser. You never do anything right. Okay, you need to be able to discern, is that voice from the Father? Is that from the Spirit of Truth? Or is that voice, is that advice, is that counsel, is that word from something else? Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Just because someone says to you, that's a great idea, doesn't mean it is a good idea. Just because your mom says you can sing really well doesn't mean you should go on The Voice. It might not be true. You need to discern to see if each and every voice is a voice of truth. So he gives two commands. They're really simple. What are they? Don't believe everything and test everything. And then he gives one reason why. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, a prophet is someone who claims to speak the very words of God on behalf of God. That's what a prophet is. So we don't really use that terminology. I mean, you use it. We call it Christianese. Like Christianese, it's like a Christianese vocabulary word. That's like a churchianity word that we might use in our little closed circle of the church. But everybody else in the world doesn't talk about prophets unless you're Muslim, okay? So when we talk about a prophet, we might be more apt to call them teachers or preachers or even life coaches. Someone who is claiming to be a voice of truth in your life. And what John is saying is there are many false voices. And not every voice has your best interest. Matter of fact, some voices, he's going to go on to say, might even be from the enemy. You see, because for John, like I said with Cerinthus, this isn't a hypothetical warning. False teachers were infiltrating the churches in modern-day Turkey, what's called Asia Minor in the Bible. And those voices, like Cerinthus and many others, John says, were specifically sent from the adversary. You may know him as Satan. The word Satan means the adversary. Sent from the enemy to divide, to distract, to destroy the church of God. That's why John continues by saying this. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world. And let's be honest, John just made this all super heavy. Like he went there. He got really serious. He started talking about the Antichrist. But what's he saying? What John is saying, whether we want to admit it or not, is he's saying bad teaching, bad wisdom, bad counsel, things that are untrue or unwise, it's not just cruddy advice. It's from the enemy. I want you to think about that, because that's what John is saying. He's saying those different things, they're not just bad advice. In the world, as we unpacked a few weeks ago, he says there are two warring kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. But as I explained a few weeks ago, when you study the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, which are all written by the author John, you realize that when John uses the word world, he's using the word world to refer to the kingdom of Satan. And so what John is saying is that there are two warring kingdoms, two warring voices, light and darkness. John uses all of these polarizing images in order to help you understand what he's trying to unpack. You see, because it's easy to think that these different things we debate, whether they're political or philosophical or spiritual or familial or whatever it might be, it's easy to think that these are just questions of opinion. But John is suggesting that there are actually spiritual opponents. You see, the Apostle Peter echoes this idea in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be sober-minded. In other words, think clearly. Be watchful. Don't be apathetic. Don't fall asleep. Why? Because your adversary, Satan, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, this is such a powerful verse because think about what he says. He says, your enemy, first of all, he prowls. He doesn't just kind of storm into a room like one of those blow-up things that, like, you know, they put in front of a gas station. No, he prowls. He sneaks in. He is the father of lies. He is deceptive. He doesn't come with, like, a little pointy pitchfork and two red horns and a tail. That's not what he does. He comes disguised as an angel of light, a sheep in wolf's, no, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He prowls, and he says he's like a lion. There's only one lion, by the way. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, okay? The lion and the lamb who was slain, and we worship him. He alone is worthy, but he comes like a lion, trying to convince you that he has more power, more fear, more strength than he actually has. And his goal, pardon me, I just literally almost passed out. Not really, guys. I just got really excited. You know, at Revolve, we are what we are. You know what I mean? There's a reason we're not on TV. And this is mostly the reason. It's me. He prowls like a lion, but he prowls like a roaring lion because the enemy's goal is intimidation. The enemy's goal is to get you cowering in a corner. Why? Because he's seeking someone to devour. What's the point? The point is the enemy is a deceiver, he's the father of lies, and his influence is pervasive and it spreads to every corner of the world. And John is saying that those false teachings are from the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what he says. Those are his words. He says they are from the world. Remember, the world is the and kingdom of Satan. It says they are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world's goals and they speak from the world's agendas and they speak from the world's whatever it might be. And the world listens to them. And not only does the world listen to them, but the world sees nothing wrong with it. It doesn't strike the world as off when it makes these dramatic claims like kids can identify as cats. The world's like, yeah, meow. But that should strike you as different if you realize that we are made in the image of God. That when God breathed the Holy Spirit into his people in Genesis chapter 2, it says he breathed the very breath of life and Adam became a living being. And unlike when he created aardvarks and he said, this is good, he created Adam and he said, this is very good. This is very good. Because there's something unique about this creation that is made in the image of God. See, it's just not about bad ideas. It's about ideas that are in opposition to Jesus. And now you have to track with me here. I don't want to lose you. Because, and I'm getting a little more philosophical here, every false teaching, if you track it all the way down the rope, every false teaching eventually attacks Christ. In other words, if you track any false teaching, even surface things, if you track them all the way down, sociologically, spiritually, politically, philosophically, academically, whatever it is, if you follow it all the way down the rabbit hole with Alice, what you're going to find at the end of the journey is every false teaching ultimately ends in opposition to Christ because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. I'll give you some examples. A truth about Jesus is that he is deity. He's 100% God. Islam denies that Jesus was God. Jehovah's Witness denies that Jesus is God. Mormonism denies that Jesus is God. Rationalism denies that Jesus is God. One of the claims of the Bible is that not only was Jesus 100% God, but he was 100% man, as I've said before, which is 100% confusing. But it's in the Bible. But here's the reality. All of these false ideas that deny the humanity of Christ, like certain versions of New Ageism, Christian Science, and various others. The Bible says that Jesus has all authority. When Jesus came back, he said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And now I'm ready to give some commands out. But moral relativism postmodern philosophy, and various thoughts all deny the authority of Christ to speak into their lives. The Bible says very clearly that Jesus is sufficient. It says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus' sacrifice was once for all, that it would never have to be paid again, that his blood is sufficient for my sin, past, present, and future, that none will snatch me from his hand, and that he will never let me go. But self-help religion and churchianity and legalism and all of these other philosophies deny the sufficiency of Christ. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything, but for them, it's Jesus plus fill in the blank. So you better try a little harder. The Bible says very clear, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In fulfillment of scriptures, the promised Hebrew Messiah, Jesus. Jesus is exclusive, but universalism, Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age crunchyism, granolaism, they all deny the exclusivity of Christ. You see, because every false teaching on the surface may just seem like a different idea, but when you track it all the way down, you find that it denies either Jesus's deity or his humanity or his authority or his sufficiency or his exclusivity and on and on and on. In John's day, it was Cerinthus. Cerinthus denied that Jesus was God. And so what does John say? Everyone who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh, they're not from God. But every spirit that confesses Jesus come in the flesh is from God, because that's what Cerinthus himself was actually teaching. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is one person, fully God, fully man, that it's one God-man born in Bethlehem, and that same God-man born in Bethlehem is the same God-man who died on Calvary, because it had to be someone who was 100% God and 100% man as the sacrifice for sin in this beautiful thing that we call the incarnation, because we needed someone 100% God and 100% man to bridge the gap between God and man, who could stand in both spiritual spheres, so to say, and represent us. And so the first test, remember what John said? John said, test every spirit. He said, don't believe every spirit, test every spirit. And now the first way you can test them is this: does it deny Christ? The first test is, does it deny Christ? And John continues in verse 6, he says, they are from the world, but we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. Us, he's referring to the apostolic witness, the apostles. He says, whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What's John saying? 1 John chapter 1 began with John saying, look, what I have seen, what I have heard, what I have touched with my hands, what I observe with my eyes, I actually touched Jesus, I was with Jesus, I walk with Jesus, and he's saying that apostolic good news I pass on to you so that your joy may be complete and we can have fellowship with one another and we can have fellowship with God. And so what is John saying? He's saying you need to trust the apostolic authority of the scriptures, because that's how we hear from the apostles today, by the Holy Spirit. Because every message, whether it's from me, whether it's from a counselor, whether it's from an author or a YouTuber or a friend, every message you hear, friends, hear me. Every message you hear, no matter how produced, no matter how flashy, no matter how many millions of followers, every message must submit to the Word of God and the apostolic gospel that we've received. And if someone's advice, if your counselor's advice, if your parenting book, if your marriage book, if your financial counsel, if something is out of sync with the Word of God, reject it. If someone's counsel is in opposition to God's truth, ignore it, because scripture judges every voice, and there is no voice, not the voice of a pastor, a professor, a church denomination. There is no voice that is higher authority than the Word of God. That's why in the book of Acts, when Paul came and he explained Jesus from the scriptures prophesying the Old Testament to the Bereans, not the Koreans, the Bereans, he says the Bereans were more noble than the Philippians because they pored over the scriptures to compare what Paul said with whether it lined up with what the scriptures actually taught, as opposed to just accepting it. And that's the second test. Does it agree with scripture? How do you discern what is true? One, what does it say about Jesus? And two, does it agree with scripture? Before accepting advice, that's what we need to be asking. What does this philosophy assume about Jesus? Who does this teacher think that Jesus is? Does this teaching agree with scripture? Is this the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the world? Will this lead me closer to Christ? Or will it lead me further from Christ? Friends, that's why here at Revolve, we believe so wholeheartedly that you need to be in the Word for yourself. That the most important thing we do besides teaching you the gospel is teaching you how to self-feed, how to read the Word of God for yourself, because it is the very words of life. Where else would we go? And I understand that these things are a discipline. I understand they're a habit. I understand that it can be hard to start new habits in an already busy life. But this is why we love more than anything else to teach you how to read the Word, to encourage you to obey the Word, and to spur you on to share the Word with the people around you. Because it's all we have. It's all we have. And so there's so many voices that are vying for our affection and vying for our attention and trying to give us counsel and trying to tell us what to do. And we need to have the spiritual ability and discernment as we read the Word of God to say, should I listen to this voice, Jesus? Should I listen? And John, in his school of thought here, he ends with encouragement to his readers. Because they might be in a panic mode thinking they're being deceived. And so John wants to speak comfort to them. And he kind of speaks comfort to them by giving them three truths. The first thing he says is this. He says, little children, you are from God. Little children, you are from God. The first piece of encouragement John wants to give them is this. If you are a follower of Jesus, you belong to God. If you are a follower of Jesus, you belong to God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You have been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his beloved Son. That we just read this morning during prayer in John chapter 10, that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door to the sheepfold. Those who come through me, they will enter into my sheepfold. They will go in and out. There's other sheep. We have to go get them. We have to bring them in. But not everyone who comes into the sheepfold is from me, because there's people who sneak over the fence and there's people who are hired helpers and they don't actually have your best interest. But I am the good shepherd, he says, and I lay down my life for my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. When I call to them, they actually hear my voice. See, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are in Christ, you belong to another kingdom. You don't need to fear the world. You don't need to beat up the world. You don't need to be angry at the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so take heart. You've already overcome the world by your faith. We're going to see that in just a few verses in the coming weeks. And so you can be at peace. That's truth number one to encourage our hearts. The second truth is this. He says, you are from God and have overcome them. Oh, I went ahead. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The second truth is that God's Spirit is greater. And so some of you might say, look, I'm not a strong reader. I'm really gullible. I believe everything I see on YouTube. I'm not going to give examples because I don't want to offend you. Look, our confidence in Christ is not found in our intelligence. It's found in God's power to draw, God's power to teach, God's power to protect, God's power to preserve, And then God gives us his Holy Spirit to remind us of truth, to teach us of truth, to convict us of unrighteousness, convict us of sin and judgment, so that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our helper who would enable us to identify what is truth. See, because discernment is not intellectual, discernment is spiritual. And so we pray and we ask for wisdom and we read the Word of God, asking the Spirit of God to guide us. I just read that this morning in Proverbs chapter 2, that you need to cry out and ask for wisdom and pray and seek it like silver and dig for it, and the Lord will give it to you. And the third truth that John gives to encourage our hearts is this. He says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them, but we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. And the third truth is that God's people recognize God's truth. God's people recognize God's truth. Maybe not always in the minute, but over time, as we read the word, as we seek God, as we pray, as we engage with other followers of Christ, truth becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Like I said, the world recognizes its voice and it resonates with their heart. Lies and falsehood, they don't sit right with your spirit if you are in Christ. God's people recognize God's voice. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said in John chapter 10, because they know the shepherd. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And the more we know scripture, the easier it becomes to recognize counterfeit voices, to take them captive, and to throw them away. All right, so let me kind of summarize this and pull it together. John says in 1 John chapter 4, he says, look, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, test what you hear by laying it against the scriptures as you ask and pray to the Spirit of God for understanding. Discern the message. Just because someone says the Spirit told me doesn't mean it's from the Spirit. Just because your counselor that you're meeting with says, I think this is what you should do, doesn't mean you should do it. You should lay it against the counsel of the scripture. And so the question that I have for each and every one of us is, who has the loudest voice in your life? Who has the loudest voice in your life? In other words, who are you allowing to speak counsel into your life about your identity? Who is speaking wisdom into your life about how you parent? What books, what podcasts are you listening to and reading about parenting, about family life, about how to function as a spouse, about how to manage your time? Because you realize the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God are two very different things. Do you realize how foolish it is of God to say that you should Sabbath and take a full day of rest, and how counter that advice is from the world? The world says you're losing 1/7 of your income. But Jesus says, rest. Enter into my rest. Come eat from the finest of wheat. Come partake of honey from the rock. Come have your soul refreshed. Come dine with me and trust that the King of Glory will actually provide for all your needs. Because the very act of choosing to rest is an act of faith, because I'm trusting that the Lord will provide. You see, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God are quite often in opposition to one another. And so who is giving you wisdom in dealing with your anxiety? Who is giving you wisdom in dealing with your trauma? I don't want to step on any toes, but I'm gonna. You know, it's a school of thought in PTSD counseling to just make people continually relive their trauma. Literally, every time. There are some schools of thought with trauma therapy where you'll go in and they will replay the trauma every single time. Am I right? Does that sound like that's from the Lord? Think about it. If you went through a traumatic incident, does it sound from the Lord that I say, we're going to meet weekly, and every week I'm going to make you relive it? That's not from Jesus. But it's easy to just think, yeah, but it's a trained counselor. it doesn't mean that the wisdom is from the Lord. Because Jesus is sufficient. He's sufficient for our wounds. He's sufficient for our past. He's sufficient for our present, for our future. And so we need to ask, is this voice from the Lord? Does this align with Jesus and his word? Now, I'm not saying you should only listen to Christians. Don't get me wrong. Don't put that in those words in my mouth. I'm not saying that. But I will say this. There are godly people who can give you counsel about parenting. And there are godly people who can give you counsel about spousing. And there are godly people who can teach you how to handle your money. And there are godly businessmen. And there are godly counselors who can help you walk through your anxiety. And there are godly teachers who can help navigate the course of life. And if God speaks primarily through his word and through his people by his spirit, and if those opportunities and voices exist, why would we go elsewhere? Why would we go elsewhere? Don't believe everything that you hear. Weigh everything. Don't ask, is this good advice? Is this helpful? Does it work? Don't ask that. Ask, is this true? Is this from the Lord? And this is yet one more reason that we need one another, because Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so you and I need one another, rooted in the word of God, to speak truth into each other's lives, because none of us have it figured out, but I need you and you need me to spur me on and to spur you on to love and good deeds as we walk out the truth of God and the word of God together. Does that make sense? Guys, don't believe everything you hear. And so out front, there's resources on that table. Like I said, there's Bibles, there's bookmarks about the order of Bible, there's information about the Discovery Bible Study and how to read the Bible. We can teach you how to journal. We can teach you how to pray. We can teach you how to do all of the things which are important for you to abide, remain, saturate, marinate with Jesus, so that you can be rooted in his truth. His word is truth. And all you need to do is ask, and we'll be glad to do it. And we don't even charge money. So let me pray. I want to pray that you would hear the shepherd's voice, even today in this moment. Father God, I pray for the people in this room. It says in Matthew 9 that when Jesus looked out on the crowds, he had compassion because so many people are helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And you are the good shepherd. God, you know every single thing about every person in this room. You know every wound. You know every difficulty. You know every trial, every joy. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You knit us together in our mother's womb. It says in Psalm 139, it says that there's nowhere where we could go to hide from you, because even darkness is like light to you. It says that you know our frame. You know that we're weak. We don't need to put on a charade with you. We don't need to pretend like everything's fine. God, you know the word that your people need to hear. And so I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak truth into your people, into those you are drawing, even right now, you would speak to them. I pray that we would be a people who hear from you, that you teach us to reject the lies and to embrace what is true, so that we can walk in freedom. So that we can walk in the life that you have intended for us, the life that you say is abundant, even though you define abundance differently than the world. And so, Father, teach us your ways that we might walk in them. Give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Let us hear your voice that says, this is the way, walk in it, and not deviate to the right or to the left. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.